Happy Mother's Day. If you haven't been told that 50 million times, let me say it one more time for you in love. Happy Mother's Day. One of the few things that we value in our culture in terms of the relationship with our mother is her ability to not only be compassionate to us, but most importantly, to be real and give us the full truth. It's my job this morning, as we look at this text, it's my job to be faithful to preach the full counsel of the Bible. We are in 1 John, so we got a lot to cover, so if you'll turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 27. I wanted to let you know that because this was not a particular verse that I thought, hey, this would be a great Mother's Day sermon. It is heavy, but I do believe that it is necessary. And if we're going to be faithful to follow the Word of God, and if you're new with us, I'm one of four pastors, and we are preaching through the entire book of 1 John. And part of that is not being able to skip parts that we think, hey, I'd rather not preach that. Part of preaching through a book is being held accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ to faithfully preach that book in and out. And so this morning we'll be discussing some things that I think are going to be hard truths for you and for me, but I think it's going to be necessary on behalf of our church. I've had a few of you also ask me recently, and a few of us elders, what is the direction of the church? I want to be very clear in saying that as one of four pastors here, that our direction is the same. It's to reach, train, equip for the glory of God. And we are moving forward in that process as four pastors. This mission is not dead. This mission is more alive now, I believe, than it ever has been. Because sin is real, and so is Jesus. And so we are on a mission to continue that. And I pray that you recognize that. And that you sense, my prayer is that you sense an overwhelming sense of unity among us four pastors as we attempt our best to be faithful to the full counsel of God and full counsel to the inerrant word and to move forward. So with that being said, we'll be in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. I'm going to pray. We're going to read that verse. I'm going to pray. And before we do that, I'm actually going to have some definitions for us. Actually, let's go through the actual definitions first. So, and when you see the definitions on the next slide, you'll go, I get it. Why this would be a tough one. First one is the last days. So as we're reading this text, this is what I want you to think of when the word last days appear. It is the period between Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and his final coming, which is also known as the Day of Judgment. We see that in Acts 2, 17, 2 Timothy 3, 1, Hebrews 1, 2, and James 5, 3. If you're one of those that's like, hey, I'm taking notes and I want to know these verses, if you will email me, it's joshua@fbcferris.com. I will gladly send you this PowerPoint and any other notes that would help you follow through with that if you want to know the biblical references. The next definition that I think is going to be important for us this morning is the Antichrist. The irony of preaching on the Antichrist on Mother's Day. I thank Pastor Eddie for going back to verses 12 through 14. And he was like, hey, you got this one. So broadly, and again, I could go into the Greek. I had a professor in seminary say Greek is a lot like underwear. It should support you but never be seen, right? So I'm not going to give you a bunch of Greek words to confuse you or sound smart. That's not my goal. But I'll simply define it as this. The Antichrist broadly is anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Specifically, however, it is a representative of the evil one. Okay, so we can be broadly defined as anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ, and more specifically, as it talks about sometimes even in John 17, which I didn't put up there, is a representative of the evil one. 1 John 2:22, chapter 4, verse 3 in 1 John, 2 John 7, the whole chapter of that, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. And again, if you want those references, I will gladly give those to you. It's my honor to share with you all of those. The last definition that we will go over this morning is the Antichrist, and that is a plural term. And what that means is this one is not specifically in relationship to a single person who is rather a representative of the evil one, but instead a person, this may get a little close to home, who's doing the devil's bidding and not God's will. And the Bible tells us that there are some that would fall into this category that are part of every church, including this one. And so, again, I promised you heavy. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. So this is the Word of God, and this is what we'll be preaching. So I want these kind of definitions to be in your head as we go through this text. So as you hear it, you kind of know, okay, this is kind of what this is talking about. So let's pray, and then we'll dive directly into 1 John. God, we thank you that, Jesus, you give us the full counsel of your Word. God, we thank you that every bit of it is God-breathed. The God, that all of it is profitable. Father, all of it is for teaching and for training and reproof. And if we're going to be faithful to reach, train, equip to the glory of God, we are going to have to be faithful to preach the full counsel of your Word, not just the parts that we like to hear. So God, help keep us faithful. And help keep us, Jesus, obedient. I pray if there's anybody in this room that does not have a saving relationship with you, that Jesus, even though tough love and there's still hope in the midst of that, would, Father, permeate so much so that the Holy Spirit would draw that person unto salvation. Jesus, we are not promised tomorrow. God, I cling to the promise this morning that anytime your word is sent out, that it never returns void, but rather it always accomplishes what it is that you would have for it to accomplish. Father, I ask that you would speak in me and through me. If there's anything that is specifically just of me, I pray that it would be forgotten. And I pray that if there's anything that is of you and of the Holy Spirit that comes out of my mouth, Jesus, that would penetrate the soul and, Father, anchor there. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18. Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that Antichrist, is coming. So now many Antichrist, plural, have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And in this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Amen to that. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, that you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointed teaches you about everything that is true and is no lie, just as it has been taught, abide in him. So as we talked about, the last days was that period between Jesus' death, resurrection, and the final coming of Jesus. It's the final judgment. The Antichrist broadly describes anyone that is anyone who is anti what Jesus is anti specifically can be a representation of the evil one. The Antichrist are the people that are doing the devil's bidding and not God's will. And I am not naive enough to believe that that takes place not only in churches across America, but that takes place in our church here at First Baptist Church of Ferris. So there are three types of people that I feel like that this really kind of outlines for us. And again, the passage is called Warning and Assurance. The first warning is there are those who will deny and depart. It says that there are some that said that they were a part of us, right? It says that but then they left, proving that they were not a part of us. Guys, there are many people who are church members, possibly even, who say, outwardly appear as if they are part of us, but because of the lack of faith and there's no sincerity or genuineness of their faith to place their faith in and on Jesus Christ for the sake of their sin, they are not of us. And the Bible says that those people will depart from us. Those people will depart from us. The ultimate definition, broadly speaking, of those who is antichrist are those who deny that Jesus is, in fact, the Christ. They deny the fact that he is who he says he is. And what this whole council, this whole overarching theme, narrative of the meta-narrative over the Bible is, the Sunday school answer is Jesus. And those who deny Jesus are not of Jesus. And Scripture says that there will be some that will infiltrate the church, that eventually they will depart from us. And by that we will know that they are not of us. Now, I want to be very clear. We have known some, and this is going to hit home, who have had the appearance of looking like a Christian, who have said, on some level, I believe, and have departed the faith. I would argue that if they've said that, and they truly depart from the faith, that they are not, in fact, Christians. Those who are true Christians, we believe in a doctrine called the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. That means that those who are truly saved, though they may temporarily fall away, have, as we talked about, what we're going to talk about just a little bit, and we talked about briefly, has the Holy Spirit, the holy anointing inside of them. And the primary role of the Holy Spirit is two things. One is conviction of sin, and the second is the illumination of Scripture. And if there's no conviction of sin, then I highly doubt that the Holy Spirit is active in that person. And you may suppress the Holy Spirit, as Romans 1 talks about. You may try to repress the Holy Spirit for a while, but you can't do it forever. If you are a Christian, you can run away for a little bit, but you will come back. Because if that Holy Spirit, he dwells inside of you, he will not give up on you. You want a verse for that? Philippians 1:6. He who began, who's he? God, began a good work in you, or bring it unto completion until the day of Christ. He will not cast you out. The Bible says that Jesus says, anybody that I call to me, I will never cast out. Romans 8:38-39 says, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Not death, nor life, nor rulers, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ. That is a quote. That there's nothing, including you and me, that can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus if, in fact, our faith is real. But the truth is, there are some people in our church and the faith is not real. And they will depart from us. And I will be honest with you, when that happens, it hurts. Because sometimes it's the people that you trust the most. And you know what? The people you trust the most, sometimes you get hurt the most. By the same tongue that they, sharp tongue that they said that they confessed or they tried to prove that they were real is the same tongue that they used to cut you down and to cut Jesus down. So those who deny and depart, the second type of group of people that I believe he's talking about in here. And by the way, those who deny and depart, verse 19 is when he talks about that. Those some have the outward appearance of belonging. In other words, and that's not a quote of that, but that's a note. They don't truly belong of us. But true Christians will never fade away. And there are some that think improperly, and some that think that if they are Christians and if they mess up, that all of a sudden that Christ has given up on you. When Christ died, he died, Scripture says, not only for the past, for the present, but also for the future. God is not surprised by your sin on Tuesday. The cross is not nullified because of something you did on a Wednesday. It is everlasting. And you are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. And Romans 8, we talked about, says nothing can separate you from that. Not even you. If your faith is real and you've placed your faith in and on Jesus, nothing, I repeat, nothing, let's hear it, church, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. Translation, you cannot lose your salvation if, in fact, you had salvation to begin with. If you find yourself in a place where you don't have salvation, you didn't have it to begin with. And that's just the truth. Don't shoot the messenger, although I do have life insurance, my wife may argue. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just preaching the truth. The second thing is this. The second group are those who deceive and divide. Those who deceive and divide. Verse 22 speaks of this. Verse 22 says this. Who is the liar who denies that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son? There are those in our church who will deny and depart, those who will deceive and divide, and the most hopefully there will be people that are honest that will abide and reside. And he gives this warning in verse 26, and he says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. This is not a new problem or simply just an old problem. I believe that there are people in every church who think they are following the Lord but are being anti-Jesus. They are being, by definition, anti-Christ with a plural. They do not stand for what Jesus truly stands for. They say they do with their mouth, but their actions prove otherwise. Let me give you a few markers of that person. Well, first of all, let's say this. They are against what Jesus is for. They are against what Jesus is for. In Matthew 22, we see a lawyer try to catch Jesus. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were put up to this task to try to carry and try to catch Jesus. Rather catch Jesus in some sort of argument. And a lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22, we know this, for those of us who grew up in church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, correct? And the second one is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, two ways to look at that. If you don't love yourself, then how are you going to love your neighbor? If you hate yourself, then you're going to love your neighbor as though you hate yourself. So, number one, I understand there is a love that when you receive the grace of Jesus Christ, that the love that you see inside of you is not because you're lovable, it's because the love of Jesus is actually living inside of you. To love your neighbor as yourself. You wash your body. You take a bath. You eat. When you're hungry, you go and you find food. When you hurt yourself, you go to the hospital. You tend to your wounds. Why? Because you care for yourself. you care for your body, you ought also to care for your neighbor in the exact same way. That type of love that moves and drives you ought to drive even further for those who are around you. Now listen, Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now here's the thing. Those who are anti-Jesus are those who do not practice or not even capable at this moment in time, because they're hidden in darkness, of these things. And they wreak havoc on our churches. They wreak havoc on our churches. Those who do not love Jesus and do not love others above themselves wreak havoc on their churches. And sometimes, let's be honest, it's very difficult to tell between who is a wounded sheep and who's a wolf. And as pastors, we're called to not only care, to love, but we're called also primarily to protect. And it is hard. It is hard to figure out who's just a wounded sheep and who is a wolf waiting to devour, waiting to mislead. Let me give you three characteristics of those who are anti-Jesus. They are self-worshipping. Everything is about them. They are self-seeking. They require everybody to know that something was done by them. They care for their own selves more than they do for others. They are self-seeking. In other words, what is in it for me? The third thing is they are self-focused. All they focus on is themselves. Now, I have a tendency of running into some of these people in ministry. I've not been in ministry very long, and I'm not even talking about just at this church. I'm talking about just in life. I've been doing ministry off and on for 11 years, vocationally. And oftentimes, these are the kind of people that come into our church all of a sudden, and they have high flattery. You ever notice those people? They come in, and they want to come in with super high flattery. They want to come meet one of the pastors, and they're like, everything is awesome, yeah, cool. They want to come in with high flattery, number one, and two, they want to immediately step into some sort of position at the church. Two red flags. That's why we believe so much so in a vetting process when we bring somebody on. And why we believe so much so in getting to know people for months and or years before we put them into service, simply because we don't want that to happen. I've even had people, and this is pushing the limits, at this church at some point or another who have now even departed, that came with high flattery, and they came with wanting power. And in the end, they departed because they were not truly of us. And by us, they mean they were not truly of Jesus Christ. They were of themselves. The Bible tells us that those people will, in fact, depart from us. I don't even have to tell them to leave. They will depart from us. It's my job as one of the pastors to protect you from that. And people don't understand the burden of that. It's not my job to sit here and try to defend what it is that our four pastors do, but can I tell you, there's an amazing amount of weight that comes on all four pastors. And when we come and when we preach, we know that God is going to hold us accountable for every word that we speak. Imagine putting your head down at night knowing that every word that you speak from this platform is going to be held in accountability before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us also to watch not only our life, but our doctrine. That means we can't be on stage and try to pretend like somebody else and then not watch our inner life as well. We have to be faithful. And pastors have to be faithful. And we have four amazing pastors who are faithful. and who love you and pray for you and care for you and serve you more than honestly most of you even know. And since most of the work of a pastor is not visible, some of you think this is just a one-day-a-week gig. Some of you think, I'm guessing, this is a one-day-a-week gig. Let me tell you, this is 24/7 for me. When I lay my head down at night, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about where your spiritual condition is. I'm thinking how the Lord wants to help use me to help you in your process, to speak truth, to watch the doctrine and my life so that I don't burn out in such a way that I have a moral failure and then all of a sudden you question everything I ever taught you. And I can say that that is true of every single one of our pastors. So be careful, church. Be careful. Warning, warning, warning. Be careful. High flattery. Be careful of those who come in and aren't willing to serve in what you and I, some people say, is the mundane. Those who come in and think they're too good to stack churches don't belong here. If you are too good to stack churches, then you, chairs, would I say churches? How would that happen? You know, that's interesting. Every week, I'm always making something up. If you are too good to stack chairs, then you don't deserve to be on this platform. You don't deserve to teach a Sunday school class. You don't deserve to lead a Bible study. If you can't lead in something as small as that, you have no business leading the souls of people. No business. None. The third are those who abide and reside. And the church said, good news, amen. Okay. This is where we get to the good news. Remember I said warning and assurance. John 10:10 tells us that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That it says that this anointing of oil is that it speaks about is an outward, it's an outward, in verse 20, an outward expression of an inward transformation. That this means that we are regenerate and or, that's a big word, meaning saved by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is not an it is a he. And it's part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit resides inside of every Christian. And we have assurance that no matter what we face, Romans says that we are more than conquerors. And John 10, like I said, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And when he speaks about he who is in the world, he speaks about he who resides over the present evil age of this world. That what lives inside of us, Jesus, is way greater than any enemy that you and I will face. And listen, I understand you and I both, all of us, we do not, the Bible says, wage war against flesh and blood. We wage war against the prince and the principalities of this air. But let me tell you something. The principalities will use flesh and blood to hurt you. And that will use flesh and blood to cause divisiveness in this church. Church, may we never sit back and let that happen. We need the unity of the Spirit. That Holy Spirit that comes inside of us, it's about one Father, one Spirit. We are saved by one gospel, and we are one family. And for those who sometimes equate, I'm stepping on toes, and I don't care. For those of us who sometimes equate the church with a business, you're wrong. There are some times that the church has to operate in some ways like a business. Yes, we have money. Yes, we have bills. Yes, we have staff. But listen, the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevent against a church. The Bible has never said the gates will prevail against that business. There's something mysterious and glorious about the church. Why? Because it is the bride of Christ. It is not some mere, simple, just institution that we can report on taxes. It is a group of people who have the Holy Spirit inside of us who are waging war against the enemy with the gospel message. The church has business likeness to it, but it is not a business. If you treat a church like a business, you are disregarding Jesus Christ. You are disregarding Jesus Christ. You are going against what he said the church was. And you are stripping the church of its power. Stripping it. The Bible never says the gates of hell shall never should never prevail against Apple. It never said the gates will never prevail against Sony. But it does say the church. Why? Because it is the bride of Christ, not a business. And when you treat the church like a business, you boil people down to zeros and ones. You are not a zero and a one. You are a soul. You are a whole person who either has Jesus or has not Jesus. And I pray that you repent and you take of Jesus. So this morning, here's what I want us to do. Thank you for no one like shooting a dart and hitting me. That's great. I never promised to be fun all the time. I did promise to be faithful. I think it's time that we decide who are we? Who are we? Are we the first group? Are we going to deny and depart? And some of us are so deceived in that, we don't even know it yet. Some of us in the Bible Belt have had just enough of Jesus, just enough to know about Jesus, that we're inoculated to the full truth of Jesus. We have the baseball card of Jesus, but we don't know him as a person. We can know all the facts about Jesus, but we don't know him personally. The invitation is that you repent. That you repent. And that you know Jesus personally. The second group, those who deceive and divide. I'm asking you, stop. Stop. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. The final answer resides in Jesus. And he has claimed victory, and you will not win. Give it up. Repent. Place your faith in and on Jesus to cover your sins. Change your path. And lastly, those who abide and reside, those who abide and the Son, I love it, have the Father. And guess what? We reside as a family. Those of us who abide, we reside as a family. No more pretending. This season is called Broken and Beloved. No more pretending. May this never be a place of pretending. And listen, that's a hill for me to die on. I know there are some pastors, and I'm not saying ours, I'm saying there are some churches that are okay with everybody pretending because it gives good attendance and it gives good ties and it gives good things. Listen, I don't care about that. I do care, right? I mean, I have to have money, thank you. I have to provide. But here's my main point. If that's what we're worshiping and that's what we're doing, then we're not being a church, we're being a business. We worship Jesus and leave the results to him. But we have to be faithful. You have to be faithful to give. You have to be faithful to serve Jesus. You have to be faithful to do what you have to do, to give yourself time, money, energy to the body of Christ, because that's what the Bible commands you to do. But you are still more than a one and a zero. You are a soul who needs to be loved, cared for, and preached the truth. My conscience is clear. My conscience is clear this morning because I have communicated the truth, as uncomfortable as it may be. Happy Mother's Day. But this is the truth. And just like our moms, what do we appreciate about our moms? They tell us the truth, guys. How many times have our moms called us out because some of us don't dress appropriately? How many times did I get called out for wearing flip-flops in January? Right? Or being called out for doing something stupid. Stupid. But that was part of how we learned, isn't it? Through the guidance and the shepherding and the loving compassion of our mother to tell us not only to tell us not what was comfortable, but to tell us what was truth. Figure out who you are this morning, please. I pray it's the latter. I pray that you're abiding in the Lord. And you know what, church? If you're abiding in the Lord, gosh, you have so much strength by the Holy Spirit inside of you. And there's so much hope, and there's so much joy, and there's so much just peace in that. There's so much rest in knowing Jesus and that the war of this world has already been accomplished and Jesus wins. And we, our job is to just be faithful and submit ourselves. There's no better news than that. We get Jesus for eternity. We get the already, but the not yet. We get Jesus in the here and now. Nowhere we can go from his presence. But there will be a day when we get to look him in the face. It doesn't get any better than that. So do work this morning. Do work with the Lord. Don't pretend. Do work with the Lord. Who are you? I'm going to invite the pastors and our worship team back up. I'm going to hang down here. The pastors are going to hang down here. Listen, we have four pastors for a reason. A, because we believe that's the most biblical model for our church. Two, we also realize that there are some people that you're going to gravitate towards and you're going to feel most comfortable with and you're going to share with that person. Don't ignore that. That's okay. Can I just tell you, it's okay? My hope is not that you just go just to, everybody goes to one person. You go to all four pastors. Go to who the Lord is leading you to go to. They are equipped. They are in charge of your souls. Let them be. Church, I hope you know that I love you. I'm not a mom. But mothers love you to tell you the truth. And you know what? Sometimes daddies do too. And I come before you to tell you the truth. Because if I didn't, I'd be telling you comfortable things straight into hell. Love you, church. Respond as the Lord sees fit.